Welcome to the Tove Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about three keys for Christians in the United States. We're also going to talk about cultural, spiritual, and carnal pulls against each of these three areas. Thanks for joining us today on this 89th episode of the Tove Podcast.
You are listening to the Tove Podcast.
Welcome to the Tove Podcast. I'm awfully glad you joined us today. My name is Levi Hazen. I have the privilege of being your host and serving as the executive director of Life and Messiah International. You can learn more about us on the web at lifeandmessiah.org. Since 1887, we've been sharing God's heart for the Jewish people. Now, I must tell you that I'm concerned. Last week, we did a couple different episodes on the Israeli-Gaza conflict, and now there's a ceasefire, which is a good thing. So for several days now, there's been no rockets flying into Israel from Hamas-controlled territory, and because of that, there's been no retaliatory Israeli airstrikes. But it remains to be seen what's going to happen. And I'm concerned for the relationships between the Arab civilians and Jewish civilians living in Israel. That's a concern of mine. But I'm also concerned with what happened in the United States when the conflict in the Middle East flared up. In front of me here, I've got a headline from Fox News that says, United States seeing wave of textbook anti-Semitism amid Israel-Gaza tensions. Unfortunately, the conflict has generated a disturbing amount of backlash against American Jewish citizens, as if they had any say in what was going on in the Middle East. So it really doesn't make a lot of sense to be angry and upset that there's a violent conflict across the sea and then get violent because of the violence of the conflict and take it out on people who are of the same ethnicity as those fighting overseas. This is textbook anti-Semitism, as the article states. The article then goes on to list multiple different locations, from New York to California to Illinois and Utah, where Jewish people, going about their business generally, found themselves the targets of death threats, hate speech, and violent physical attacks. And these aren't just reports. There's footage, there's film of these types of attacks happening, and that is greatly disturbing. You know, the Tove Podcast is not a political podcast. I've said that time and again, but the reality is that our world, which encompasses politics, oftentimes finds itself overlapping with biblical principles. And the issue of anti-Semitism is one of those areas in which what's oftentimes described as a political viewpoint overlaps with a biblical viewpoint. Now, for believers, the issue is settled for us. The Bible tells us to love others. The Bible tells us to love the Jewish people. So we should never see any believers taking part in these kinds of violent mobs or destruction of property. Where are we heading here? Do we think that just because we're done with the horrors of the Shoah, we're done with the horrors of World War II and so forth, that we're somehow more enlightened than those folks and there's no way the world would ever fall back into another genocide of the Jewish people? If so, if the world at large believes that, then we're in a world of trouble, because the scriptures tell us that we should be careful if we think we stand. In other words, we should be careful if we think, oh, that could never happen to us, because our fall is quickly coming. So I know that the rest of the world is also struggling with anti-Semitism, but it is heartbreaking to see the United States of America dealing with it especially. And, you know, U.S. believers, the believers in the United States, I know that the Tove podcast has listeners the world over, which I'm grateful for. And certainly the principles that we're going to talk about today, these three keys for United States Christians, they're biblical principles, and certainly they apply to anybody, whether you're in Australia, South Africa, Israel, they're going to apply to you. But I think that these three keys apply especially to U.S. believers in this day and age. So I want to talk about these three keys. I want to talk about the resistance to following these three keys. And I want to remind us of some things that we all need to be keeping in mind as followers of the Messiah. So the first key here that I'd like to share with U.S. believers is to hold fast to the Word. Hold fast to the Word. You know, if you're interested in reminding yourself about the importance of the Word, I'd invite you to turn to Psalm 119. I've got some highlights in Psalm 119, quite a few actually, just because I love Psalm 119. And Psalm 119, one of its major themes is God's Word itself. So I just want to share with you some passages that I've got highlighted here. Let's just start in verse 9 of Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. Verse 24 says, your decrees are my delight and my counselors. God's word is our counselor. Verse 25 says, my life is down in the dust. Give me life through your word. Verse 42 says, I can answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Verse 72 says, instruction from your lips is better for me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Verse 74 says, for I put my hope in your word. Verse 81 says, I put my hope in your word. Verse 89 says, your word is forever. Verse 98 says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are always with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, because your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the elders, because I obey your precepts. Where do we find these decrees? Where do we find these precepts? It's in God's word. 103 says, how sweet your word is to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. If you want to go remind yourself right now, just how good God's word is for your soul, for your mind, go get a spoonful of honey and close your eyes and just pray and say, God, your word is sweet as honey to my soul, and eat the honey and know that that is what God's word does for your soul and your mind. Verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Verse 107 says, give me life through your word. Verse 140 says, your word is completely pure and your servant loves it. 147 says, I rise before dawn and cry out for help. I put my hope in your word. You know, John chapter 15 talks about staying connected to the vine, and that vine is the Messiah of Nazareth. One of the major ways that we stay connected to the vine is through the reading of the word, through meditating upon the word, through soaking it in and allowing it to penetrate our hearts, our thoughts, our decision-making. Of course, we connect with the vine other ways too. We spend time in prayer and in worship and in fellowship with other believers. But if we're not consulting God's word, we're missing a major, major component of how God instructs us. Getting counsel from other people is ultimately a good thing, provided that those people are consulting God's word. Are the people that you're surrounding yourself with, whether it be in person or YouTube videos or podcasts or whatever it might be, are those people that are ingrained in God's word? If not, let's get some people in your life that are ingrained in God's word that can counsel you. Now, with each of these three keys, there's going to be a pull against that direction, and that shouldn't surprise us. So the first pull that we oftentimes feel whenever we will try and engage any of these three keys is a spiritual pool. The enemy does not want us to advance in our spiritual lives. It's a fact. The enemy is like a roaring lion seeking someone who may devour. He is the author of lies. So no doubt, if you decide to get into the Word, the next thing you should expect is some sort of spiritual opposition. What kind of form that will come in, I have no idea. But you should be ready for it. The second type of pull that will try to keep you from reading the Word is the cultural pull. And right now, in the United States in particular, the cultural pull is strong. It's a pull that says, don't read the Word. The Word is old. Ancient ideas for a people of a different generation. You got to modify the Word to bring it up to standard today. This is rubbish. This is all a bunch of malarkey, and it comes straight from the pit of hell. These are the devil's ideas that are trying to keep us from reading God's Word. And it's just like that old trickster, that old deceiver, to wrap it up into some sort of a cultural opposition. Get with the times. No one reads the Bible anymore. Not only is that a lie, it's bad advice. The best thing that we can do to navigate through this life is to consult God. And as mentioned, one of the most important ways we get God's counsel is through the reading, through the learning of His Word. And finally, there'll be a fleshly pull. Our bodies, our flesh, do not naturally run toward the things of God. In fact, they run the opposite direction. So it is our souls that need nourished by God's Word. It is everything about us that needs nourished by God's Word. Meanwhile, our flesh, our carnal nature, pulls against that. And for various reasons, depending on who you are and depending on your particular personality. Some of us, it's pride issues that keep us from going to the Word. Others, it's the peer pressure or the family pressure that tells us not to go to the Word. Others, it's a sense of pride where we think we don't need the Word. We've survived this long, and I'm doing just fine. So that's the first key for U.S. Christians. Hold fast to the Word during this cultural upheaval, during this changing of our culture. Hold fast to the Word. The second key during this time in the U.S. is to be philo-Semitic. Of course, being philo-Semitic is the opposite of being anti-Semitic. To be philo-Semitic means that we are loving toward the Jewish people. I don't have to read too far into my Bible to learn that we should be loving toward the Jewish people. God says, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you will be cursed. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you, God tells Abraham. We see in the book of Zechariah that God calls Israel the apple of his eye. If Israel's the apple of his eye, would you ever want to hurt Israel in any way? Israel is composed of all the Jewish people worldwide in that particular context. No, you wouldn't. Romans 1:16 tells us that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And the gospel is to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Don't get caught up in any of these anti-Semitic mobs, or even thinking. The recent wave of mob attacks against our Jewish friends is an incitement from the pit of hell. And there is a direct correlation between, hey, those bad people in Israel over there, and this Jewish person on the street needs to pay the price. That is anti-Semitism, plain and clear. We blame the Jewish people for something, and then we attack the guy on the street. That is hate. That's anti-Semitism, and believers should have no part of it. You have a Jewish king who's your Lord and Savior if you're a believer. You should not forget that. And you should not forget the biblical example we have that everybody who rampaged the Jewish people from the Babylonians to the Persians and the Romans and on have suffered consequences. And don't think that you can be anti-Semitic and not suffer any consequences, because God hates hate, especially when it's directed toward the apple of his eye. There is no excuse for any believer to display a political anti-Semitism, a religious anti-Semitism, whatever you want to call it. So what does that mean for most of the people listening to this podcast who aren't anti-Semitic? We need to speak up. Maybe we need to put a sign in our yard or in front of the church that says we stand against anti-Semitism. Again, if we think that it can't happen in the United States of America, we're already down the path and on our way there. They didn't think it could happen in 1930s Germany. You know, Germany was the most enlightened of the European nations, the most enlightened country in the world at that time. And look what happened there. So we should never think to ourselves it couldn't happen in the United States of America. We're a quote-unquote Christian country, and we're so technologically advanced, and we have people with signs in their yard that say love wins and resist hate and all these types of things. And yet we have mobs flipping over cars, burning down businesses in the name of love, in the name of unity. We have people attacking random Jewish people on the street because of love, because of unity. I thought that all these things were the result of previous leaders and the kind of drama that they were whipping up among the community, you might say. No. These things have to do with the enemy himself. And the enemy doesn't get elected. He's there, year in, year out, every day, seeking somebody to devour. He's dividing. He's deceiving. He's discouraging. Now, when you're Philo-Semitic, when you love the Jewish people, there's going to be a cultural pull against that. Usually ingrained in the culture is stereotypes against the Jewish people. There's going to be a spiritual pull against it. Why? Because the enemy hates the Jewish people. The enemy knows the scriptures. He knows both from the prophets and the writings of Paul that ultimately one day Israel is going to repent. One day Israel's going to look up and recognize Yeshua, the Messiah, from Nazareth, is the one the prophets wrote about. It's the one Moses wrote about. And the enemy wants to stop that from happening. And of course, there's going to be a fleshly pull, if you don't already feel it, perhaps in the coming years. There's going to be a fleshly pull, a carnal pull, to not be Philo-Semitic. It's not in our human nature to love anybody. And it's especially difficult when it seems like your culture is heading more and more and toward hate toward certain people groups. But I want to encourage you, be Philo-Semitic. At Life and Messiah, for over 130 years, God has sustained this ministry, and one of our major objectives is to stand against anti-Semitism. Why? Well, partially because for the first 1,600 years or so of the church's life, we participated as a church, minus a few groups and individuals. We participated in anti-Semitic acts and anti-Semitic beliefs, from the Christ killer charge to the Crusades to Martin Luther and his book on the Jews and their lies. The church has blood on our hands. But of course, we can't do anything about the past. All we can do is determine what we do today and going on into the future. And we need to reverse course from what's been done in the past. If you haven't read Michael Brown's book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I highly recommend you get your hands on that. If you haven't read Pastor Barry Horner's book called Future Israel, I recommend you get your hands on that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back on the Tove Podcast, we'll talk about the final key for U.S. Christians.
Hi, Tove listeners. Did you know that the Tove Podcast is a ministry of Life and Messiah International? At Life and Messiah, we've been sharing God's heart for the Jewish people since 1887 through a variety of outreaches, both in the digital realm and in person. We are passionate about discipleship, evangelism, and teaching, all with the Romans 1:16 priority of to the Jew first. To learn more about our ongoing work among the House of Israel and explore ways you can be involved in reaching God's chosen people, Visit us on the web at lifeinmessiah.org. That's lifeinmessiah.org. You are listening to the Tove Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Tove Podcast. We are ready for our third key for U.S. believers. The first two, we need to hold fast to the Word, root ourselves in God's truth. Otherwise, we're going to be deceived by others or by whatever else the world tells us. We need to be philo-Semitic. We need to love the Jewish people. And the best way to love the Jewish people is to share the gospel with the Jewish people. But we can't do that if in a world, in a culture, where they're going to be attacked violently anytime they're out in public, or they're going to be shamed in the media because they're Jewish, or there's going to be major stereotypes about who the Jewish people are. Refrain from these things. Our third key during this interesting culture that the U.S. is becoming for believers is that we need to share the message. We need to be unashamedly, lovingly, and truthfully sharing the gospel message with a lost world greatly in need of it. If the United States of America continues to get darker, if our culture continues to slide into a culture where right is wrong and wrong is praised, it is incumbent upon believers to share the gospel. That is the only way that hearts and minds can be changed. Now, just with the other three keys, there's going to be a cultural pull. Well, there already is a cultural pull against sharing the gospel. They might think I'm weird. They might reject me. There's going to be a spiritual pull against sharing the gospel. There always is. The enemy does not want the only life-saving message on this planet to go forth. And there's a fleshly pull against sharing the gospel. It's not in our nature to put ourselves out there and to risk not being liked, to risk the message being rejected. It has to be in the spirit that we do these things, and we need to do them, again, out of love, with sensitivity, and yet boldness. So I hope these three keys are helpful to you. I'll certainly be trying my best to keep them in mind as we go day by day. At Life and Messiah, we continue to preach the word, to be philo-Semitic, and to share the message with a priority to the Jew first. If you've enjoyed this episode, perhaps your friends and family will too. Feel free to pass it along to them. You can find all of our Tove Podcast episodes on Spotify, iTunes, or a host of other platforms. And be sure to check out lifeinmessiah.org. May you hold fast to the word. May you have a God-given love for the Jewish people. And may you have an abundance of opportunities to share the message. Shalom.